We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better
since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers
since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning in studio from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, we have got SRO Chad Dodson. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So you are normally at this hour at Las Casas Elementary?
Las Casas Elementary, yes.
How many students are there?
We have a little over 600 kids. I tell you, it's fun. I've got my stuffed dog Pancake. He likes to cause some mischief sometimes, but it's fun. Get to work with the kids, build relationships, and it's a busy job. And, you know, we do a lot of extra stuff as well, you know, after school and weekends and stuff. But I love what I do.
At Las Casas, you've got, first of all, a lot of rural kids who come from some of the rural settings, because that covers a pretty good area.
Yes, it does.
And with that being said, are you seeing all types of backgrounds coming to school each day and working with parents on probably a regular basis from all walks of life?
Yeah, I do. You know, we have, I think I already said, a little over 600 kids, but you know, every kid's unique, and we try to build relationships with all of them.
And for those listening, if they have any questions, you can text us at 615-893-1450. Again, with us today, SRO Chad Dodson from Las Casas. Now, again, how many years have you been at Las Casas, and then how many years have you been an SRO?
I've been an SRO 17 years, and I've been at Las Casas 10 years.
So before that, were you at a high school, or were you always with elementary students?
I've worked all levels. I've worked in Laverne, Oakland, and then Smyrna schools as well.
Well, what has been the most enjoyable? What age group of kids?
I tell you, I love the little ones. I love them all, but I loved every place I was. But, you know, I love the little ones, and we get to do a lot with them, and I'm sure the teachers sometimes probably don't love what I do, but get a little mischief going. But yeah, I love it. I love that grade level.
It seems like smaller kids, they have a stronger curiosity about everything.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And, you know, I feel I've got a good relationship with all of them, and most of them. Whether if some kids maybe had bad experiences with law enforcement or seen that through family or something, I try to let them know everybody's not like that. And, you know, it's who that person is, and their character and their actions is what makes someone good or bad.
When you see some of the children get into trouble for whatever it may be, does it typically spark from situations at home or things that they see in their house?
A lot of times it does, and even online stuff at that age. I mean, it's just getting younger each year, seems like. Social media is just an influence, unfortunately.
It's wild what kids can see, you know, yeah, at a young age online, and a lot of times they don't have parents really monitoring that.
Yeah, a lot of times they don't, and, you know, it's, you know, I know my daughter is smarter than me on stuff, so, you know, it's, of course, she's grown now, but she always was, but, you know, kids are very intelligent, even with some of the security functions you put on one, sometimes they figure out how to go around it.
I think the scariest thing for parents, probably surrounding the fact that there's so many predators out there who prey on children, and they meet them through some of the apps that children are using, and they're posing as kids in the beginning, and that's just terrifying.
Yeah, it is. And when a child's online, you know, anybody that's nice to them, they consider it a friend. And I try to, when I go in the classes and stuff, talk to them, let them know even the bad guy's going to be kind first. You know, just because someone tells you what their name is, that don't mean they're who they say they are.
Are elementary age children, are they getting on some of these apps that these predators are on?
Yeah, they are using them.
Do you come across that yourself on occasion at schools?
Occasionally, yeah.
What do you have to do whenever you do run across that?
Well, depending on what it is, you know, we'll might get CID involved, or, you know, we'll get with the parents and go over things with them. Guidance will be involved. So, I mean, everybody's working together to try to, you know, whatever the issue is, try to take care of it.
What would you tell parents out there listening you know, parents of maybe young kids, their new parents, or parents of teens?
I mean, don't start too early or too late. You know, always monitor what they are doing on the phone. And unfortunately, there's apps out there that are made to hide stuff from parents. And just make sure you are keeping up with people they're contacting, the apps and stuff that's on the phones.
I know it seems like you often hear parents say they don't check their kids' phone. They don't know what apps are necessarily on there. And they think it's an invasion of privacy to find out. But at the same time, well, it's your job as a parent to find out.
It's their phone, I'm sure. I'm sure that kid's not paying for it and signed up for it themselves. So it's their phone. And you still need to monitor, make sure nothing's going on. And I've worked with parents before that they said, well, aren't they going to see it anyway? Or, you know, and that's just the wrong attitude to have, because, you know, we have to fight it. You know, we have to, it's a constant fight. And, you know, it's just out there. It's going to be here. It's not going anywhere. And it's just a constant fight.
Man, that comment, aren't they going to see it anyway? I mean, that's... I can't imagine if all parents live that way.
Right. Yeah. And I tried to, you know, change that thinking, but I'm not sure it worked. But it, and two, it, sometimes a device will get them out of the parents' hair for a while.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately. And that's kind of how they look at it, too, at times I've come across. So it's just something we got to stay on top of.
And it's almost as if so many parents, they claim they're overly busy, and I'm sure a lot of them are, but they use that phone as a babysitter in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's just something that you know, we just gotta stay on top of, and you know, make sure you have good you know, security devices on it. There's programs out there that can, you know, detect when something's not, you know, language or a site that's not good that they're on, and send that message to parents. So there's programs out there that you can put on there.
When you look at your job today versus when you first started, have you seen a change in the children? I mean, maybe a lot of kids are more isolated than they used to be. Some maybe even more depressed than what you saw in the past.
Yeah, it has gotten worse. Kids do get depressed. You know, kids are so into someone locks their picture online, or if they say something negative, and that they just carry that. And it depends on the kid. You know, there was things that, you know, I dealt with that before all the internet and stuff that just devastated me, that probably wouldn't bother nobody else. So I mean, it just depends on the kid too. But yeah, some are very depressed and talk about, you know, unfortunately, suicide and things like that
at that age.
Yeah.
Elementary.
Yeah, even elementary.
Wow, that's got to be tough, especially in those conversations, and then the conversations with the parents. I mean, those are just tough conversations to have.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's, of course, you know, we got good programs in place and everything that, you know, we try to do all we can to help that child and family. You know, it's just sad. I mean, it really is, some of the things that they, you know, have to deal with nowadays.
So with the help that is available out there, if you learn that a child may be suicidal, what kind of programs are you able to get that child into? And is there medical help that is available pretty quick?
If they're, especially at home or something there, I mean, you could go to the emergency room and, you know, they could help from there. Youth Villages is one that gets involved with a lot. And our guidance counselors are real good, and they have connections with all those. So, you know, if it's something that they are dealing with, maybe, of course, if it's an emergency, you know, of course, to me, any kind of comment like that's an emergency, but you can definitely go to the emergency room or call an ambulance. And then if you have something going on at school, or maybe just parent issues, or not really just parent issues, but family issues at home or something, the, you know, they can always contact the guidance counselor. They have programs and stuff they can help with.
One of the questions that somebody just texted in, it asked, how do you balance being a law enforcement officer with being a friend, and it says an advisor, but I think they mean being a leader to children in the schools?
The SRO division, we have the concept of triad plus one. So we are law enforcement. We do informal counseling and teaching in the schools, but the plus one is being a role model. So we want to build those relationships where the kid is comfortable coming to us. And I want to build, and I feel I do, with have that relationship with most of my families. They're not afraid to come to me if there's something going on. But, you know, there has been times, of course, it's more so in the middle and high school age, the older age, where it's just there's just certain things you have to act on as law enforcement. And I still love them, and I've still told them that. You know, I think the world of you, but unfortunately, I'm in this position. And you know, I've had kids that understood that, and I've had some not. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you still have to take care of them.
I don't think anybody's asked that question before, but that would be, I could see where that'd be tough. And for the child, and if it's a student who may look up to you, who's talked to you before, they may not fully grasp, you know, why are you mad at me? Why are you disappointed in me?
And they, you know, it's, and I still, you know, even if I have to deal with a student on that side, I just tell them, look, I'm not mad at you. I want them to know I'm not mad at you. I am still here for you. I want to help you if you ever need it. But unfortunately, I have, you know, I have to do whatever so that it might be. But, you know, they just need to know you still care about them. And if you build that relationship with them and have done that, I think they understand that. If they don't have that relationship with you, I think that would probably be more of an issue of them not trusting you, what have you. So
how hard is it when you're at a school, because all of our schools are big these days, I mean, mm-hmm. we have like 52,000 students in the Rutherford County school system, but how do you go about, I guess, meeting each child and letting each child know, hey, you're there?
I try to interact with all my kids at least once a week. So I have over 600 kids, and I use Pancake to do that.
Pancake's a dog.
Yeah, stuffed dog. I think he's real at times too. But I go out, I sit down in the lobby during the lunches, all the kids are coming, and I'm out there with Pancake on a remote control car. So they love that. I mean, I might dress him up like the principal one week, or I might, you know, do something different. But I always try to have something that I can interact with them once a week. I mean, I greet car riders coming in. I give bus riders high fives going out every day. You just have to put that effort into it and find ways to interact with these kids and families.
While you're doing all these things, while you're interacting with the kids and everything, are you also watching out for suspicious persons that are on campus? And do you sometimes come across that?
We do. Not a lot, but we do. I have two 50-inch TVs in my office, and they just run cameras. So I have one on all the inside the school, and I have one on the outside the school that just I can follow people around the parking lot. So if something doesn't look right, I'll note the time if someone comes in. Cause sometimes people come early for a meeting or something. And then if it's set there too long or something, I'll go check. I'll just say, you know, I just want to see if I could help you or whatever. But, you know, I get there early in the morning before I have to be. And I check the playgrounds and all around the school, make sure everything's locked up. And then when I'm in my office, that's what I do is watch cameras for anything odd.
Over the years you've been doing this, have you come across people who have just shown up on campus who should not have been there and they, you know, it was suspicious from the start?
We have. Most of the time, it's not anything that someone's looking to do something bad, but they might be meeting someone to sell something or, you know, just something like that, which you just can't do nowadays on school campuses. And, you know, it's just, or, you know, we've had parent issues. We've had domestic issues where someone might show up. And, but the school, you know, is really great. You know, administration, teachers, they look out for things. They all have my cell number. They text me if something don't look right. I go check it. I tell them every year at the beginning of the year when we do our training, look, I'd rather go check it and not be anything than something you didn't tell me about.
Domestic violence, that can be one of the most dangerous things that an officer comes across, no matter what side of the country you're on. I mean, that's a big one. And then you bring into that a child and, you know, custody issues and everything. Those are big issues.
They are tough. And sometimes the child gets used, you know, to kind of get back at each other. But, you know, it's that is tough. And, you know, it puts the kid right in the middle. And when I have to talk to people, look, I try to look, your child's the one suffering here. And, you know, it's tough. It is for the kids.
I'm sure making it even tougher would be the fact that, you know, these court papers, they can change overnight as far as who has legal custody of the child. And how do you look at that stuff?
Well, of course, the school has to do, you know, they go through the central office, their legal department as well, and they have to put it in the system. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, and what kind of runs into a problem at times is the paper may have changed and the parent never brought it to the school. So that will is sometimes an issue.
So parents out there listening, if they've been through a divorce, if they're going through some kind of custody battle, they should keep that paperwork with them, I guess, at all times, at least when they have a kid with them.
Yeah, keep it with you, especially on order of protection. I mean, you just need that with you. Make sure the school has it. As soon as you get it, make sure the school has the updated version of it.
And what mechanisms are in place to ensure that the wrong person doesn't leave with a child?
Well, the school, of course, they have to be buzzed in, and they have to be in the system where they can check them out. So it's not like just anybody can show up and get a kid. But that, you know, the parent needs to be the one to update that as well as it goes along. And sometimes they don't, but if something doesn't look right or something, I mean, they'll call the parent.
And these days, I guess every school has a system where they scan the person's ID if they're coming there to pick up a child early or whatever they say.
Yeah, we have the Raptor system. And what that does, it checks against sex offenders or any, you know, things like that. So once they confirm that, once it's scanned in, it sends messages to me, you know, other SROs and central office. So, but yeah, look, there's a lot of alerts go out when that happens.
So when those alerts come to you, if it's at your school, I guess first thing you do is head to that front office.
Yeah, yeah, wherever that is, and that's where it's going to be. But yeah. Go up there, and then, you know, I'll look at the screen and then take over from there.
I'm sure those could be tough and awkward conversations, especially with you got one parent who they want custody of their child, but they don't have it, and they're trying to figure out every way they can to get that child and take that child with them.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's just a tough situation. Sometimes the school gets brought in the middle of it. You know, it's just sad for the kids, but, you know, I'll try to help anybody I can. But, you know, I also want them to understand that we're going to keep the peace there because the kids are going to be safe.
Again, with us this morning in studio, we have from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, School Resource Officer Chad Dodson. And when you look at the number of kids today, and then you hear news stories about mental health problems, and just it seems like every day we hear something new about mental health issues, or there's a need for more mental health help for youngsters. There's a lot of need out there. But how many problems do you come across where you think that there is something bigger going on here? There is a mental health issue that needs to be addressed. And then how do you go about, you know, figuring out where to turn to get this kid some help?
And it does happen quite a bit, but the school has a lot of good systems in place to deal with that. And then they usually get the parents in, and, you know, they set up plans and stuff to deal with that. But yeah, it does happen quite a bit.
And then when it comes to student behavior, when you're addressing it versus when the principal is addressing it, how do you decide when to step in versus this is a job for the principal, not for me?
Well, we're not disciplinarians, so, you know, it's if it ends up being a possible, you know, like, you know, inappropriate touch, or if it ends up being something online or something along those lines, you know, sexual battery or something like that, then we would be stepping in as well to work with them. So and then just, you know, whichever direction it would need to go from there.
When it comes to weapons on school property, that's one of those, it seems like we hear a story about it from some part of the country at least, you know, a couple of times a week, if not more. But how do you go about ensuring that children are not bringing a weapon onto property?
Well, we have the detectors now that scans for weapons, and those are manned each morning, you know, everybody coming in. So also any visitors throughout the day. But that will, I know, and I believe some other schools that they have caught some, but, you know, we haven't caught anything like that in Las Casas. So, but, you know, we depend on that. And, you know, back to like building those relationships, if you have that relationship, a lot of times kids will just tell. And because, you know, they won't be safe too, and they trust you and they like you. You know, so it's, you know, hopefully between the detectors and the kids, you know, if they do hear someone, because sometimes, you know, most every time kid likes to brag or something, they brought something. So, but, you know, after that, of course, then we would deal with it from there, you know.
and dealing with elementary age kids, I'm guessing most of them are not bringing weapons to school to begin with.
So. Yeah, it's, you know, but, you know, it's, sometimes there might be knives or something someone forgot about or something like that. And, you know, and the older kids. And, but, you know, most of the time, you know, it's, not all the time, but most of the time it's just somebody forgot something. But, you know, they just need to check and make sure before they leave the house that they're not bringing anything like that.
And then when it comes to problems like drugs and drug use, are you starting to see that with elementary age students?
Not really at Las Casas. I know there has been some, but, you know, with vapes and stuff like that as well, you know, kids bringing those. So I haven't really dealt with that there. You know, that much over, you know, maybe someone having, I can't remember. I know sometimes they like medicine, ibuprofen or something like that, but all that stuff needs to be checked in with a nurse still. So,
really I guess the biggest thing would be a vape or two.
Yeah. I mean, I remember several years ago, I think there was a kindergartner that had snuck one in the parents or, you know, one of the parents in the backpack. So, but yeah, I mean, even down to kindergarten.
What was the reasoning behind it? Yeah, because I could imagine at that age, well, I didn't want my mom to smoke it anymore.
Yeah, I don't recall. I don't remember what the Zach. I don't know. They just thought it was cool or whatever, and put it in the backpack or what have you. I don't know. It wasn't anything. I think other than maybe show or tell or something they was wanting to do with it. So,
you know, kids, especially in that age group, they don't think things through.
No, they don't. And, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, they just don't. Sometimes it's amazing some of the reasonings or excuses you get.
Do you ever have to, you know, talk to teachers and just say, you know, hey, this kid usually doesn't do this? I mean, do you have to have those types of conversations as well?
Yeah, and usually, and the teachers know them well, too. I mean, you know, a lot of times they know as well, you know, something's just off that it's not really, you know, that kid. So
I know when the Child Advocacy Center, when they visit us on the air, they talk about how it's often the teacher who is that first main line of defense, who recognizes, you know, something is different about this student. And then from there, they'll talk to the principal maybe, or talk to a law enforcement officer to figure out what's going on and why.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, it's, law kids love their teachers, and, you know, they'll, you know, confide in them stuff as well. And, of course, you know, certain things they have to report, but, you know, just for the kids' safety. But it's, you know, they do. They are that first line. They'll see, you know, when something's not right.
And I'm sure you can recognize it too, because if you've built this relationship with a lot of these kids, some, you know, come back to that same school for the next grade and the next grade after that, you recognize a difference in the way they're acting.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's just, you can tell when they're having a bad day, you know, when you just get to know your kids. So it's, you can tell when something's not right.
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll talk about some of the programs that the SROs are involved in here in Rutherford County. So stay with us. Right now, the time, 8:43. Again, stay with us, and we will be right back.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Since 1936, MTE has provided the reliable service and peace of mind we count on. Manage your account anytime at MTE.com or through the MyMTE app.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you. That's RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, it's all on you. Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
Do you want your money to work hard for you? Who doesn't? South Central Bank has two CD specials that will help your money grow. South Central Bank has a 5-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 4.15% or a 25-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 3.8%. Two great ways to put your money to work. You choose the term that works best for you. $500 minimum balance to obtain the APY. Stop at our location at 1602 West Northfield Boulevard in Georgetown Park today and take advantage of our two great rates. South Central Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Our prices are as good or better than the box stores. I don't think you'll do better by shopping online than you would by coming in. Being able to hold a guitar, try it out. You can't do that online. I am absolutely sure we have more selection of instruments than anybody else in the area. New and used. We have used instruments as well as new ones. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Thank you very much for being our customers.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This morning with us in studio from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, we have got SRO Chad Dodson, and he is at Las Casas Elementary. And so again, you see and hear about, I guess, different stories and different problems involving kids every day, but you're also there for, I guess, some of their more joyful moments and things that happen in their life.
Yeah, I am. It means a lot. I had last summer, I had a former student that invited me to her wedding. So stuff like that, I mean, when you have those kind of relationships, I mean, that just meant a lot to me. You know, when we do programs at the school, you know, I try to be involved with all of those and, you know, compete. Well, I say compete. I did a little pre-K race, racing cardboard cars not long ago, but it's not always competing, but just be there and take a part of them. And, you know, especially when you see, you know, a child that started kindergarten and they're now their fifth grade, you know, a couple of years ago, I got to experience that for the first time. I mean, just you see them grow up.
And I'm sure it's whenever they do stuff like invite you to a wedding, I mean, years later, that probably speaks volumes.
Yeah, I was very touched and humbled with it. You know, but it's, it meant a lot. You know, it meant a lot.
One of the questions we got during that last break, it asked about what do you do in situations where you have to respond to a threat that is at the school, that comes into the school in some way?
Well, it just depends. Of course, we have a system set up and a safety program, you know, I don't know what word I'm looking for here, a safety plan in place. Of course, we don't release that, those details of that or anything, but we take anything serious that comes in, and you know, we work it to make sure it's not credible.
Yeah. And I guess that's the number one thing you got to figure out, if this is a real threat or if it's some kind of false
threat. We're going to take it serious regardless, you know. And you know, I don't, you know, you just have to, you have to take it serious.
And then as far as training, because we do hear about threats all over the country every year and how they do change over time. Some are posted on social media. Some are phone called into the school. But are you going through different types of training each year to get updates on, you know, this is the latest craze that's happening with school threats?
We do. Each year we do a back-to-school training, SROs do, and we, you know, try to get updated on, you know, anything going on as well. But, I mean, throughout the year, things happen too. But, you know, we have a good network as far as, you know, it being relayed to us. So we try to keep up with the latest trends there, I guess. So,
what are the biggest changes you've seen over the years in students and also in student behavior?
Probably just, it seems like there's a lot less respect nowadays, and it's just, you know, and I keep going back to social media, but it's just everybody believes, well, I say everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people, they believe whatever's on social media, and they don't even check it out to see if it's true or not. And, you know, that's something I try to, you know, tell them too. It's okay to be passionate about something, but make sure you know it's true, and, you know, research that. Don't believe everything you hear online.
And in some cases, you're almost like a father figure to some of these kids, because some of them live in a one-parent household where it's just mom or it's just the grandmother even raising the child.
Yeah, it's, and I've had some kids tell me that. And, you know, it's just, you know, I try to help them all. And, you know, I want to be there for them. I want them to know I'm there for them, because, you know, it doesn't do much good to say something if you're not putting the actions behind it. So it's, I want them to see that, that I am there for them and their families too.
Mentally and emotionally, what's the hardest thing to deal with that you see in the schools that you come across?
I think one of the saddest things is when parents are, you know, separated, getting a divorce, and that child's just having a hard time and, you know, crying at school every day. That just breaks my heart. So it's just, you know, it's just sad. When I hate seeing a child hurt at any time for anything.
You know, because you're not that child's parent, and the children look at you different from a parent in some ways, in some situations, do they open up to you and say or tell you that they feel like they're the reason behind their parents' divorce? Because you always hear about that from counselors, that the children take on that burden as if it's theirs.
Yeah, and they do. And I try to, you know, and I try to be pretty transparent. Of course, my childhood wasn't the best in the world. And, you know, I try to be kind of transparent to a point with that. And, you know, and I'll mention that, you know, look, it's not your fault if something going through, because, you know, sometimes family makes choices that affects us, and those consequences affect us as kids. But, you know, it's not your fault. And I try to make sure, and I've even had kids come out and thank me for saying that before, because they were going through a hard time with that.
You know, I've talked to adults today who they hold on to that from their childhood.
Yeah.
You know, they hold on to that divorce their parents had, and for some reason they tie it to their behavior. I mean, you hear about that today, you know, 30 years after somebody's parents got divorced.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I mean, there's still things from my childhood that pops in my mind at times. So, you know, you do. I mean, you hang on to that. And I think sometimes we just don't realize, I guess, how much that's affecting kids, you know, our decisions and stuff that we make.
Do you think some of your childhood went into making you want to be an SRO today?
I think it has to the point of I want to make a difference. And, you know, I don't want to just fill a seat and a position, but I want to make a difference. And whatever that may be, you know, telling the kid that it's not not their fault in the classes, make sure they know, you know, it's going to be okay, to the point of playing with a stuffed animal at lunch. You know, I just want them to know that I care, and, you know, I want to do what I can to help them at least put a smile on their face if things are not going right.
You're wearing a lot of different hats within the schools. I mean, you're not just a, you know, a law enforcement officer. You're also a counselor and a father in a lot of ways, a friend. I mean, there's just so many things that you're doing there.
It is. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of positions you kind of feel doing that job.
When the programs that SROs are involved in, when they take place, do parents show up at a lot of those, and do you have a chance to interact with a lot of the parents?
I do. There's some that we, you know, of course we get to see more than others, but of course I think the most recent coming up is the Special Needs Kids Fun Fair we do each year, and this is the fifth one. And this year, Redstone Federal Credit Union is sponsoring it for us. Kids see a lot of kids, you know, and parents too, some during that time. But it just depends on the school's field trip policies and stuff, if parents come or not. So all of them's not going to have, you know, parents with them. But it's we're going to have about 700 special needs kids this year.
And that's the SRO Special Needs Kids Fun Fair, March 27th. So is that at one particular school, or are you having events at multiple schools?
This is at Lane Agri Park here in Murfreesboro. And there are times, you know, elementary has a time they're coming, and then middle and high school has a time they're coming, you know, after that. But we do a petting zoo, carnival type games, face painting, and a magic show, just so they can, you know, have a special field trip day.
So that's going to be, again, March 27th. And for those listening, so there are 700 special needs students within the county school system, and that's literally all ages.
It is, and there's actually more than that, but these are the ones that said that they were going to attend. So we'll have 700, and have some peer students with student peers with them. But altogether, probably about 1,100. But yeah, we've got 700 committed to coming.
And we are growing rapidly, so that number obviously goes up each year. And yep. I'm sure you have a huge amount of staff that are helping out with that.
We do have, of course, central office, special education department, nurses, school nurses come. You know, we have about 100 volunteers, because we have emergency vehicles, you know, that would be set up as well, for the kids can, you know, see the vehicles, talk to first responders, and they just kind of move about on their own to what, you know, what they want to do.
Now, another event, one of I guess most parents out there, their biggest fear is the day that their child gets their driver's license and drives.
Yes.
But the SRO program, you've got special teaching programs that are available for kids who are beginning that driving for the first time.
Yes, we do. It's called Drive. I'm the coordinator of that program, and it's a defensive driving program for teens. It consists of a Friday night online class, and we cover topics anywhere from driver responsibility to road rage to severe weather driving to hot car deaths, even to talk about distracted walking, because we're all pedestrians at some point, you know, and bike safety. So we have that class, and then usually the next day, the Saturday, we do a hands-on driving course, and that's usually at Las Casas Elementary, and it's from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
So are you literally driving with that child, that student?
We are, but we don't go out on the roads, but we do set up courses in the parking lot, work with them, you know, on their experience level. We have some that may have 3 hours, and we got some over 100. So, I mean, just we still work with them.
Are kids scared of driving? Because it seems like kids are not into cars as much as they once were.
No, they're not. You know, we see that a lot. Kids just kind of, they just don't want to drive, a lot of them. And, you know, I can't wait to drive, but, you know, it's, nowadays it's just different.
It really is.
Yeah. So it's, but yeah, a lot of them just don't want to do it. And, you know, we try to encourage them. Like I said, we work with them on their levels and teach them, you know, hopefully how to be safe out there on the road and watch for other drivers that probably shouldn't be on the road.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and I do a follow-up class for the parents the next week. It's optional. Just go over lots of stuff we taught them, and then, you know, how to teach your kid to be defensive drivers. So
hey, I wonder what's behind that whole thing of kids just not really being into vehicles like they once were, because like you said, I couldn't wait to turn 16 to get my license.
I know, I couldn't either, but you know, it's I have no idea, but
it's got to be the internet and social media, because
yeah,
they're on it a lot of times, 24/7.
Yeah, they all got their phones.
They so. Do. And then also coming up, the Junior Deputy Academy and the Operation Full Plate. What is that?
Junior Deputy is a three-day law enforcement experience that we do at the end of the year for fifth graders going into sixth grade. And it's offered to all the county elementary schools. And then it's kind of like a mini police academy. We teach them about the sheriff's office, different things within the sheriff's office. And this, I wanted to do something to it. Of course, I coordinate that program, and I wanted to do something this year to kind of give back to the community. So we've added a food drive called Operation Full Plate. And this goes to benefit Atlas students within Rutherford County Schools, which are Atlas supports students that experience homelessness. So this is going to go to benefit those kids throughout the summer and probably into the fall as well. Right now, the last number I have is about 1,300 kids, Atlas kids, and we're asking students that come to this that, you know, if they bring food, but I knew we wouldn't be able to meet all that need. So I have reached out to some churches and businesses that are helping us as well. And anybody listening would like to help would be glad to see their help.
For those listening who may not have a child in the school system right now, if they want to donate canned food or something along those lines, what do they need to do?
They can reach out to me. And my cell, 615-396-7342. Text me or call, either one. Or my email address is cdodson@rcsotn.org. And I'll leave you a flyer as well.
Sounds good. Again, this morning we've been talking with SRO Chad Dodson with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, and we're already out of time. But thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We really focus on value. They get value. They get more than what they pay for. They get a higher level service. They get higher level food at a price that is a lot more affordable. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value, and again, that they were fulfilled both within their stomach and as well as their pockets. We want them to feel satisfied. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Now, and